What general section are we in? Do you remember? Huh? I'll give you a clue. The second section, which we haven't got to, is the presentation of the Bodhisattva belief. So the first section is... It's the three qualities of a sosakewa, of a person who hasn't seen emptiness directly. Okay. So in the middle of that, he's talking about how Bodhisattvas have to... It was that cool cycling thing, where you have to have enough goodness to get to the perfection of wisdom, but you have to have the perfection of wisdom to practice goodness. And then you come back and practice it in an informed way, in a new way. Then just in the middle of that, he drops this little thing, you know, about some people hear about emptiness, and they hear about the gakcha, and the gakcha being that thing which we deny exists, right? When we speak about emptiness. What emptiness is empty of is called gakcha. So he says some people go too far when they hear emptiness. You know, most people don't think about emptiness at all. And then the few people who've heard about it, they overreact to it. They think it's bigger than it is. And he's talking about them. Why he throws that in right here in the middle, before he goes on to the Bodhisattva levels, I don't know. I think he's just trying to prepare our minds for the whole book, because that's a big subject in the book. You know, what exactly is the gakcha? Most people don't go far enough with what we deny, and a lot of people go too far. So he's talking about people who go too far. Some people don't understand what it is we are denying, gakcha, when we use reasoning to examine the idea of suchness. They understand it to mean that we deny everything that exists, okay? And you hear that a lot. I have this discussion with people once a month or something. When we travel, it's about once a day. You know, I heard about emptiness, it means nothing exists. I approached a diamond dealer in Belgium for $1.5 million to input the Kangen Tengger faster. This is like 15 years ago. And he said, I'll do it. And I said, thank you, you know. And then he said, but you have to ask my guru. I said, who's your guru? Oh, his name is Jambudvipa. So where is he? I'll go ask him. He's in India. I don't mind, I'll travel. Well, he walks around India. He's a Jain saint. He walks around India. And he doesn't get in cars, and he doesn't, you know. So I said, well, where? In what area? You know, he's like, well, you'll never find him. But once a year, he comes to this festival on the Holy Mountain, you know. And so I flew there, and I climbed the mountain barefoot. My feet were bleeding, you know. And I found him, you know. And I said, you know, your student who's a diamond dealer, he wants to give us this money to input scriptures. And he says, Buddhist scriptures, right? I said, yeah. And he says, Nagarjuna scriptures, right? I said, yeah. So I know about Nagarjuna. You know, he said nothing exists. He said nothing exists. Shunyata, you know, he said, I don't go for that. You know, and then we had like a 2-day debate. And at the end he said, that's exactly what we believe. You know, and I said, great, so we agree to the $1.5 million. He says, no, we'll buy cows with it. You know, we'll save cows. They have cows saving places. They buy cows and they save them from being killed. So that's where the $1.5 million went. But I always think of him when I think of this. It took 2 days, but he got the gakcha, you know? Then he was like, that's exactly what we get to, you know? And okay, so anyway, if you believe that emptiness means that nothing is real, then that opens up other problems. That sort of promotes other diseases. Okay, so he's going to go through some of them. One, two, three. Topa kangin tam che den zin dhang kun zo tam che nam mo tsam dhang. Okay. I'm going to do, just for a couple sessions, what you're going to be doing when you come on Tuesday up to the Lama House at 2 o'clock?
1
o'clock to help do the pronunciation for the class in India. Okay, so anyone who's wants to come and help type in the pronunciation for the class in India. We can use like 10 people, doesn't matter. You know, pairs, and split up the material, okay? So I'm gonna practice a little bit with you. And then if you're interested, come during the ACIP time, which is Tuesday or Thursday.
Not next Thursday.
Not Thursday.
Starting Tuesday.
But Tuesday from 1 to
7.
Anytime between 1 and 7 that you can come, you're welcome to come. And then it'll normally be Tuesdays and Thursdays. We'll have to work for the next 4 weeks to finish it on time. But this coming Thursday, don't come, because it's people are flying in from all the ACIP centers for a meeting. Okay? So I'm going to practice a little bit with you. I have this idea. I'll make one mistake on each line. And you'll tell me which mistake it is. Okay? So it would look like... mistake? Where? Yeah, TH. Okay? It's useless to try to distinguish between ta and da and da and da. And, you know, we don't have it in English. Just give them a T. You know? Which means they misspelled Ken Rinpoche's name when he got to the... You know, someone saw it as in transcription and confused it for pronunciation. And if nothing else from this exercise these next 4 weeks, I beg that you learn the difference between transcription and pronunciation. Okay? Transcription is this first line here. It's English letters that we use to indicate without ambiguity the corresponding Tibetan letter. So ta is shown with a TH, but not for pronunciation purposes, just so you can convert it to the right letter. Okay? In practice, ta and ta are pronounced the same by all foreigners, people who don't speak Tibetan. So you just say, because we don't have a TH, we don't have the distinction, so you just use a T for both of them. You see what I mean? And to attempt to show the transcription in pronunciation is just a very common disease among everybody who works with Tibetan or Sanskrit. Okay, so anyway, yeah, the tam te is wrong here. Got it? It should be just this. And we're going to do a little bit each day. Let's do this one. Who doesn't know any Tibetan in here? Yeah. So please read this line. In the English letters. The second line.
Oh, wow.
Okay, good. And there's where the mistake is, because she said Nango. Okay? That's why this is not a good transcription. Because a person who doesn't know Tibetan will pronounce it wrong, and the purpose of pronunciation is that someone like her will pronounce it correctly. Okay? So this is the way you do this one. Now pronounce it. The whole line. It's okay. Say Nango.
Nango.
Do the ngo in your throat and hold your tongue. Ngo. Ngo. Yeah. Yeah, Nango. Okay, good. Anyway, should give a better chance. When you're starting a syllable with a sound that doesn't exist in English, help them. You see, I mean, split it off, make it simple. Okay. Which is not. Na doesn't exist in English. Okay. It's okay with you? Maybe I put a mistake in there. Isn't it true, as he's about to say in about two pages, that all forms of thought of a person who is not a Buddha yet and who's also not in the direct perception of emptiness are incorrect? So isn't it correct to say that all forms of conceptual thought is a way to say not being in the direct perception of emptiness? Aren't they holding things wrongly? Did you just, when you nodded, are you wrong? Do you believe that you are wrong? Yeah. I asked you, are all forms of conceptual thought mistaken? And you nodded. That means you had a correct conclusion concerning emptiness. And you weren't in the direct perception of emptiness because your eyes are still open. Okay? So now you have to tell me that what you just thought was wrong. If it's wrong, then I'm right. If it's not wrong, then you're wrong. Seriously. If it's wrong, I'm right. If it's not wrong, you're wrong. Good. Yeah. The conclusion you drew is correct. How you perceive every part of your thinking is wrong. Okay? So that's what he means here. You just have a conceptual thought. And every component of the thought you were holding to be self-existent, to exist in truth. But your conclusion was correct. And that's okay. Got it? You can use a defective instrument to come to logical conclusions. All right? And all deceptively objects exist only in mind. That's that thing where you tell somebody you're projecting things. So they say, Kimberly is just my projection. Therefore, Kimberly is just my mind stream. Therefore, I'm this incredibly lonely person. It's just me in the universe. And everything I see is in my head. You know, okay? And that's not correct. And that's a very subtle, and it's a useful thing to know, because when you teach your own students, this is a very real and disturbing mistake they can fall into. And then you have to present that idea that I'm projecting Kimberly as a separate person. So she is a separate person. Okay? So I'm not alone in the universe. Okay? Like that. But my relationship to her and the universe is such that since she is my projection, if I'm a good person, I can perfect the world. Right? Okay? So it enables us. Right? It empowers us. Okay. Let's go one more. 1, 2, 3. Sangye ki sana ye shi me ching te shi ni ba shi ye pa dham su ku ni sangye ki se du pa ma yin barn de pa mi rip te. By the way, those of you who are serious translators, just everybody, this is a way, this word then here, that you can indicate the what they call sequential ne. Ne can mean through, and ne can mean sequence, meaning this happens before that happens. Okay, so in this sense, in this case, ne means sequence, meaning they think gacha is everything, and then so they believe this. You know, subsequently they believe they have these wrong ideas. Okay, so it's That's where the then comes from in the second paragraph. It came back from the end of the Tibetan in the first paragraph. Okay? It's a useful thing to know for translating. And the grammar texts make a big deal about it. If it's true that all deceptive objects are only in my mind, right? If the whole normal world is only in my own head, then when I become a Buddha, and I'm not making that mistake anymore, there's no more deception, right? Then they can't exist. Okay? And so everything at that point is just emptiness. And then you say, well, okay, then I guess a Buddha's body doesn't exist in a paradise. Their physical body. And they never emanate. And then they say, why? And you say, kunzo denbe yinbe yichir. Because that's also a deceptive object. And they say, no, that's not a deceptive object because they're not deceived by it. And then we say, what? Can you say an object's not deceptive reality if a Buddha is not deceived by it?
Yeah. To the Buddha.
No, remember, the definition of deceptive reality is that reality which fools someone who's fooled by it. You see what I mean? So it's that reality which fools a normal person is deceptive reality. So is a Buddha's emanation body or their paradise body physical form? Are they deceptive reality?
Yeah, sure.
No, even to a Buddha. No, it is deceptive reality to a Buddha because it's defined as that reality which would deceive a lesser person. You see what I mean? It's really, they're no longer deceived by it, but that doesn't mean it's not deceptive reality because deceptive reality is defined as that reality which deceives a normal person. You see what I mean? So that reality, all physical matter, all non-emptiness things are deceptive reality. Okay? So, but if you believe otherwise, if you believe that deceptive reality is what's appearing, everything appearing to your mind is deceptive, therefore it doesn't exist, then when you look at a Buddha's form, it shouldn't exist. See? And if you reach a stage where there's no more deceptive reality, then you should just exist in emptiness. And only emptiness would exist. And in that case, there'd be no mind or body of a Buddha. Only their Dharmakaya, only the emptiness of their other bodies. But they don't have any other bodies, so there's no emptiness anyway. Okay. All right. It's all a big misunderstanding of what deceptive means. Okay? Yeah.
In this definition you gave of deceptive reality,
mm-hmm.
Description. Oh, okay.
It's a pretty airtight description, but you want definition, I have to look it up.
The type of perception can be, it doesn't specify direct or indirect.
Right,
so,
could be direct.
So even emptiness, when perceived indirectly, is deceptive.
Yeah, you could say that. But he wouldn't say that.
No.
We just said that that would be Denzin. Is it Denzin? Are you holding to the thing as truly existing? If you have an intellectual understanding of emptiness.
Yep.
I think he would say it involves a wrong perception, but the conclusion is correct. You see? The conclusion is correct. Is it a donut? Yes. Is how you perceive it correct? No. Because you think you can get it if I'm nice to you. Or if you're nice to me. But you can only get it if you've given away donuts before. So, but is it a donut? That's a correct perception. Yeah.
Correct. By correct, you mean valid?
Valid, of course. I can eat it. And that, if you don't want to, it's okay. It's more for me.
This references deceptively existing things and not deceptively appearing existing things.
Oh, that's true. But deceptive existence is defined as deceptive appearance. Okay, let's go on. Well, let's try to do a little pronunciation here. Okay, where's the mistake? Yishi could have been, you could have colored it to Yishi. But I wouldn't go there. We're gonna agree that we don't use a Y at the end of these sounds, unless it's an agiku E, okay? Those of you who know, the possessive. So we're reserving the Y for agiku E.
Okay. Why did you put sana here?
Sorry?
Why did you put sana?
Good. Okay. Sana, now there's a rule, and you're going to learn this, and if I teach it to you now, it saves me time later. Okay. Prepositions, which technically in Tibetan are postpositions. Why? They come after. You don't say at the level, you say level at. Sana. Okay? Break them off. Break off all particles. Possessive particles like what? Ki. Locative particles like na. Okay? Break them off. Alright? That's just a rule. The thing is not that some of these rules couldn't have been different, but it's to be consistent is the goal. To have rules is the goal. You know? That someone said this is the way we're going to do it. And that it's internally consistent is the big deal, you know, because then people can learn it and make the right sounds, okay? Which is the goal of transcription, of pronunciation, sorry. This one I don't try to split it nowadays, okay? We could have said what? We could have gone like this. Where's our victim? You ready? Say the first one, then say the second one. Is there a difference to you? Not much. You see, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. It's a tiny pause, perhaps. But it wasn't meant to be a pause, anyway. Say it in Tibetan, Sangye. Yeah, you know, you could try to make the distinction, but I don't think it's worth it. Nowadays I'm thinking it's not worth it. Just Sangye. Okay, did you have a question?
Are we still using the transliteration scheme that you put in the...
pretty much.
So if we were to print that out for people, then that would be helpful?
It'd be helpful, yeah. Yeah. There, we actually defined this system in the release for ACIP. Okay? It was like, I don't think anyone's ever done it. But no one ever read it anyway. Okay. And it's useful to do. Okay. Now, this is a huge chunk that has to stay together, given that the verb is down here. But we're going to insert the verb up above and cut it in half. So where do we cut it in half? We can just take halfway point. You know? One, two, three. te taran de pa ni nien lang tu wang chang sen chang sen che sun le chung ba de umma ju pa rang ki je ja dang. Couple things for translators here, technical things. When you read this, there's a thing we call distribution. What it's saying is that Nyenrang means what?
Listeners
and self-made Buddhists. Nyente dang rang sangye. It's an abbreviation for Nyente dang rang sangye. Nyenrang. Listeners and self-made Buddhas. Then you have to supply. Distribute means you supply a piece from another part of the sentence, which is le chung, okay, which is down here, le chung. So nian rang tu buang le chung, tu buang chang sem le chung, chang sem chu sum le chung, right? So instead of saying le chung three times, he just put it at the end. And we're meant to what's called distribute. We're meant to plug it in to each of the first two cases. Got it? So what it's saying is that the Buddhas are born from... These lower arhats are born from the Buddhas, and the Buddhas are born from Bodhisattvas, and Bodhisattvas are born from the three qualities. Okay? So I'll say it again. Buddhas are born from lower arhats. Lower arhats are born from Buddhas. Buddhas are born from Bodhisattvas, and Bodhisattvas are born from those three qualities. Can you say it in English? Lower arhats are born from Buddhas, Buddhas from Bodhisattvas, and Bodhisattvas from three qualities. You see, we do it in English also. We distribute. It sounds better. Okay. So, but in Tibetan syntax, it comes at the end. Okay, so in your mind, you reserve. You like, it's a little hard to translate. You're like waiting for the end to see what's going on here, because it doesn't make any sense. What it says here is lower arhats, Buddhas, period. Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, period. Bodhisattvas, three qualities, from born. Okay, and then when you get to the from born, you like supply it in the back. Now, knowing that it's coming by the time you're good at scripture, you pause to indicate the distribution. So, just a technical thing. You'd read it like this. Tetan dupani nyera tubang. Tubang changsen. Changsen chusum le chung. You see, hear the pause? Because they know the distribution is coming. You know, lower arhats are born from Buddhas. Buddhas from Bodhisattvas. Bodhisattvas from these three qualities. We use the tone of the voice and we use a slight pause in English. So when you're reading this into the correct reading, if you're reading for your teacher in the monastery, you know, you'd go Nianran Tubang. Tubang Changsen. Changsen Chu Sun Le Chu. Okay, got it? Let's try it together. Let's do the whole thing. 1, 2, 3. De Dan De Ba Ni Nianran Tubang. Tubang Changsen. Changsen Chu Sun Le Chun Ba De Uma Jupa Rangi Jujada. Okay, good. Nice, got it? It's stuff to learn. Okay. Sound obtuse. We stole the contradict from right here. Gelwa. Okay? We had to. Alright? Make sense? And that's because these beliefs contradict all those statements, such as the fact that the listeners and self-made Buddhas are born from the learning table, that these learners and self-made Buddhas are born from the that the listeners and self-made Buddhas are born from the is in fact the very subject matter of entering the way. Okay? Got it? It's okay? Sometimes when he's being cute, you should be cute too. You know? I mean, he's trying to be cute, so don't stifle him. You know? No, and when you're translating for a lama and they say something cute, then make it cute. We were joking around the other day. Who was it? Krishna Das. He said, I was sitting next to Professor Thurman at His Holiness' talks in Tucson, and His Holiness said, if someone bugs you or hurts you for a week, like, just be nice, and then if they hurt you for a month, be nice, and keep doing good things back to them. And if they hurt you, I don't remember exactly, but if they hurt you for like 6 months, and then they still keep hurting you, then tell them to eat shit. And, which is kyapa so. You can learn kyapa so. Say kyapa. So is the imperative of sa. Sa means to eat, so is the imperative. Kyapa means is the unhonorific word for poop. It's a very insulting word. It's a kyapa so. And if you don't pronounce it right, if you say kyapa so, it means eat ice. So you gotta say it. If you say kyapa so, it means eat a stick. Okay? So you have to get your pronunciation right. So then the translator just sort of got red and said, tell them to go to hell or something like that. And then Krishna Das said, Professor Thurman like leaned to him and said, exactly what I leaned to her and said, that's not what he said. Why did I say that? Oh, so when the lama's being cute, then let, you know, don't like block them. You know, they've made a decision. They're taking a leap. So don't like clean them up for them. You know what I mean? Okay. If they wanted to clean it up, they could have done it themselves. Okay. Oh, we have to read this, sorry. 1, 2, 3. Chö sum bo dhe chang sem u ma pe nyam len yin ba dhang dem ba me pe sem chen kor wa kor su so chun ki gyu mo dang sum ba Sumba Tam Jeta Gawe. Okay, good. And I'm just supplying another contradict just to make it, yeah. I think I got just those statements that translate that thing about the buckets and the well and the Sochun is that bucket rope thing.
You say helplessly or effortlessly?
What you can do is go back to Sochun. That's why I don't convert them until I'm done with the text. So I can go back and look up Sochun. You see here when we translated the root text, like a water wheel, right? But I think we changed it later with Mr. Alexander. Ever-turning wheel. We had a big fight about it, right? Let's just steal this. Okay. If I had extra time, I would. Yeah, hopefully. I think that'd be nice if you had editors who could do that. But they'd have to know Tibetan, who have no true existence, who can run through just the same as the way. Turns continually. Sorry?
Revolves.
Revolves is good.
So this is a third race?
Yeah. So what he's telling this guy, follow the reasoning, follow the logic. That guy said the Gakcha extends to all things. Emptiness refuses all things, right? So we said, well, what does that imply? Well, then all the normal stuff that appears in the world is just in your head. And it's deceptive. Therefore, when you get to enlightenment, it doesn't exist anymore. Oh, so our mental objects and physical objects, deceptive reality. Yes. So you must be saying those don't exist in a Buddha paradise. Right. Okay. It's basically saying all deceptive objects are wrong and invalid. So then you can't say that. You can't agree even to the most basic subject matter that was set forth from the very beginning as the whole subject matter of the whole book. Because you can't agree that Buddhas are born from bodhisattvas, or that when Buddhas speak what?
There's anyone to hear it.
Dharma. Physical Dharma. Tape recordings, CDs, Bokjimba classes. Those are deceptive reality. So they can't be affecting arhats. They can't be affecting Hinayana people. You know? So you've thrown that out, right? Oh, okay. And I guess you've thrown out that love, right? Or knowledge. That the book started out by saying these three qualities that you should develop, right? I guess you got thrown those out too. Okay. And also that whole description about people being stuck in perpetual downward cycles, like buckets banged around in a well. You have to throw that out too, because that's just deceptive reality. Okay? Got it? So basically your position cancels everything about the book. I mean, that's in a short commentary to the book. We'll just throw the book out. Okay? He's like getting his, what do you call it? Getting his punches into the guy. Okay. Yeah.
Is the part above, has to have twice the fact?
Which one?
The fact.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do need it. Think about it. Cook it. The fact that the fact is the very subject matter. The fact that that fact is the subject matter. That's what the sentence is saying. Okay. You see this little thing here? That little thing. That's like a beautiful ornament in the text. And it means what? Big new section coming up. Like, you might see two of those in a text, or five of those in a text. So, like, you've graduated, right? Like, you guys stuck it out. It's been, like, almost 2 years now, right? So we're about to start the real text. I keep telling you that, right? But here's the ornament to prove it, okay? Here's the ornament. Like, you made it to the main subject matter. How long is this text? I mean, it's 736 pages in Word format like this. We're 187 pages into it. We're almost like a third. But you have to take out the English. Yeah. So we're like a tenth or something. Okay? We're like a tenth of it. Now we're 10% done. We're about to embark on the 90% about what? Here's the subject. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. Sun ba gyal se pak be sar nyam su len su she pa la sa chu nam sha chi te su su ngo wo she pa sa yin den she pa o se she pa o she pa o. Okay, and that's a big terminator particle. It's called a termination particle. Okay. Bow. We've reached the third part. And you can just say, now we're going to start at part three, or you can do what? Like, be polite. Like, be a gentleman or a gentlewoman and go back and tell them what part three is. You know? Who's going to remember? That was like 50 pages ago. You know, so don't be lazy. Like, go back and find it and tell them where we are. Okay? So What you can do is take a little chunk out of this thing, Parpesar. Let's try Parpesar. And you don't have to spell the beginning right. Okay? This is where he first presented these three divisions. First of what three parts? Explanation of the causal levels. Okay? So, what's the explanation of causal levels has three parts. A general presentation on this system, and more particularly how you practice the path, the levels of a non-Arya, and then how you practice the levels of a Bodhisattva who is an Arya. Okay? Don't forget that. This book's not just about Bodhisattvas, like the Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, which is really, when he says Bodhisattvas there, what's he talking about?
Non-Aryas.
Not only that, non-Bodhisattvas. That book was written, he calls us Bodhisattvas. He says, a Bodhisattva should be doing this. He's like calling us Bodhisattvas when we're not. I mean, that book is two levels down, you know, on that point. Here he says, when he mentions Bodhisattva in this context, he's saying, he's assuming, Shirshak, someone who has seen emptiness directly, okay? So don't, just remember that as we go on, okay? So as per weight, and this is an outline thing, as per weight, it took us about 150 pages to get to the first of the three divisions. It took us half a page to do the second division. And it's going to take us 600 pages to do the third division. That's why you shouldn't, as many baby translators do, just accept that as how you're going to split your book up. Okay? But don't fall for that. Don't make the Tibetan outline your outline for how you split the book up physically. Don't make part 2 half a page, and part 1 50 pages, and part 3 700 pages. You know, it means the person didn't understand the function of the parts in Tibetan. Okay? All right. So, I'm gonna cut out this whole thing. Why not? Who cares? It's just a computer. Okay, and we'll go back to where we were. Oops, I didn't mark it. Oh, you're right. She's right. I should have just searched for the ornament. So what comes up now, I have to be careful to cut out later. All right. What did I call it? Part. Okay? That way you can, this is how you can translate like 30, 40 pages for class tomorrow. Just keep copying and cut. Okay, and it's correct. It's more correct. Okay. This brings us. Okay. You should learn the word nunchuck. Okay, you should learn the word nunchuck. And I want to show you something about that. We were spelling it on the overhead the other night because we're Salam Nunchuck. And I'll show you something just so you know. Is it nunchuck or is it nungushak? Okay? We're looking to see how nunchuck is spelled. What's the best way to find out? Where to search? You can search the right dictionary, but what's even more conclusive in a way? Yeah, search the books written for the last 1,000 years in Tibet. Why not? Okay, all the books. Or a big chunk. Nunchuck with a G, alright? One vote for G. Two votes for G. Three votes for G. This is boring. I thought there was going to be a... There's a B. 3-1. There's a 4-1. 5-1. 6-1. I thought it was going to be more controversial. 7-1, 8-1. Okay, not very controversial. All right. Anyway, this word is spelled in two different ways. Don't get confused. Numshak means everything you wanted to know about blah. Okay? It's a very, very common word. The tantric text you're studying, what most people would call is a salam namshat. A treatment, or give me a translation. It's everything you want to know about the paths and levels of tantra. Give me one now. A what? You can say that, but it more implies, you can say that in very specific contexts. You can say that. Presentation is okay, it's a little bit too general. Namshak is more like, it's like everything, in English it's exactly everything you wanted to know about plumbing, or everything you ever wanted to know about, it's everything you ever wanted to know about blah.
Was that encyclopedia?
Huh? A what? Yeah, what were you going to say?
Whatever it is that you put it on.
Oh, but sometimes they're only a page long, that's a problem.
Someone said idiot's comprehensive. Carol said idiot's guide.
Idiot's guide is good. I like comprehensive presentation. Let's do that. Companion is like collecting things. I use it this way. Listen, comprehensive.
Explication.
Explication is really good. Who said that? I like that. You win a hat.
He has a hat.
Yeah? You gotta get it in like a new. No? It's in her bag.
I don't.
I was gonna give this hat to whoever came up in the best way. Look at this. It's the only way I could go to the beach. Thank you. I'm glad you earned it. In general, explication of the okay, here's a hard one. Say no.
No.
No. No. Can, as a translator, be open-minded when you get here, okay? Listen to what he's trying to say in normal English. No normally means what?
Essence.
Essence. It can also mean, do you know? Definition. And it can also mean just a description or the nature of something. So don't get stuck. This is a translator's rule. This is maybe one of the most important rules of translation. Don't expect that the world is going to be so neat that there's a single Tibetan word and a single English word that corresponds to it. Like, don't expect that. And don't put your readers through that. You know? Don't keep translating this as essence every time it comes up. Because it has like four or five totally different meanings in English words. So don't just out of convenience be lazy and say, oh, I'm always going to translate this word as this word. You know, somebody came up to me that day and said, I have this project, we're going to translate the tenure with computers. I said, oh, how? You know, and they said, well, you know, like no would be essence. You know, yeah, so every time it comes up, it will be essence, right? Or like that, you know, it just doesn't work that way. Is every time sa comes up, it's going to be earth or dirt? You know, well, I'm sorry, earth. So bodhisattva dirt? I mean bodhisattva earth? Or, you know, which single word are you going to pick for the computer, you know? It'll never work for Tibetan philosophy. It'll never work for Buddhist philosophy. You know, because one word in a context, a great translator should translate it in the way it would be said by a college-educated person. You know what I mean? So how would you say it? An explanation of the no of each individual level. So he's going to give you an overview of the 10 levels. And he's going to go through this thing of presenting the blank of each separate level for you.
What characterizes each level? Features. More features.
What is its nature?
It's more. It's less core than core and more core than feature.
Specific. So why is essence
better? Essence.
Well, essence means, if I say I'm going to explain the essence of what you're going to do on Tuesday, you know, I would give it to you in 30 seconds, right? This is the main part of the book. It takes in the whole book to give you the know of these 10.
Details.
The what?
Nexus.
Nexus? Yeah. What were you going to say?
Details?
Highlights? It's not a highlight. See, highlight also implies showing.
Aspects? Core?
Attributes?
Essentials?
Essential also implies that you don't give much detail, right? I'm just going to give you the essentials. I'm not going to give you detail.
Detailed explanation.
You need candy or something. You don't throw these things.
No.
Or these. Somebody found a Krispy Kreme outlet right here. I'm not hinting. Whoever gives me the best word. Yeah. I think Kat wins here. There are two of them in there. Okay. A detailed explanation. Whoa. Oh, did I hint that? How about, I have my own preference nowadays for yunten, but you tell me. Yunten, guna in Sanskrit. Good qualities. I would say almost high qualities. You see, I'm going to go for high qualities. High spiritual qualities. Okay, you'll read, I'll eat. One, two, three. Namo. Shena. Don't forget, if you eat the whole thing, you won't get it in the future. Okay. This is a principle we were talking about at the board meeting last night.
Just writing other people's
doing others' books for them. Like writing other people's bad deeds for them. Okay, anyway. There's no end to it.
Need more notes.
Okay, find my mistake. Yeah, Satchu, good. Yeah, okay. Satchu is not one unit, which brings up an interesting question. You can't do the pronunciation of a text unless you can read it. You know? Because you don't know where to split the words. You see? So, but still come on Tuesday, okay? It'll still save time. And 90% of what you do will be correct. Okay? So, okay. And, yeah, you might get stuck scanning something. Okay. So I can't say I misled you. Okay. I'm going to put two mistakes in here. You tell me. Chuchipa is correct. Yeah, I'm going to pull it down from up there. Sorry? Yeah, Dun is T-U-N. Okay. An O sound that comes before certain suffix letters like na is umlaut. So it goes from O to U. Right? Say O. Now, if you ask a normal person on the street, if you say, now write that down, they'll put an O or a U? Well, they'll put a UH probably, right? But between vowels, they hear it closer to a U than to an O. And it is closer to an English U than to an O. So people who like spell Bhutan Rinpoche, B-U-T-O-N, which is the way everyone in the world spells it, they're just mixing up what? Transcription and pronunciation. You see? It's just endemic. Everyone does it. You see? They see a naro, so they think it has to be O. But the sound is oo. You see? So people will look at what you're doing, they'll say you're crazy, and that's fine. Okay. But it's more correct. There's another mistake here. Yeah, red numshot. Okay. That's a silent prefix. It's a silent head letter. Okay? You'll do it, I'm just warning you. I'm just setting you up. You'll come up on Tuesday, you'll have a whole line like this. And then I'll say, come on, we already told you that. Alright? Okay, here we go. How are we going to do that text when we hit something like Chichikpa? We're just going to print the text like this. You see? And it's not going to be even on the right side. Got that? You see what I mean? Okay. And are we going to try to do this? I don't think so. It's too much. It's no problem for a person sitting, and it'll come out, whoa, slow down, honey. It's no problem for a person sitting in the audience who doesn't speak Tibetan to see it like this somehow. You know what I mean? That's okay. I don't think we'll try to space it like that. Yeah. I do when it's open vowel before it and it's very strong. As in, what would that be? Ganden. This one's a little harder. So, I don't know, this one I'm inconsistent, okay? It's Nelmjor. But God, I mean, try to pronounce Nelmjor. You know, it's maybe a little cruel. Ganden's okay, right? Ganden's okay. But Nelmjor, we just don't do that in English, you know? Nelmjor. Yeah, it's a little like, I don't know. My general rule is, Now you get into a new point. Earl brought up a new can of worms. You opened a big can of worms. The person who's writing the pronunciation has to know how modern Hausa dialect speakers pronounce it. Okay? I'll give you an example. How do you do this one? Oh, it's Dunkor. For no good reason at all. It's not a third column. It shouldn't be a prenasal. But how about this one? Modern speakers say Gyeongsan. Okay, so that's another thing, but we're not going to get into that. I'm not going to bust your brains on that. Suffice to say that prenasals that are really strong, I would put in like Ganden. And ones that aren't so strong, I wouldn't put in. You see? And it's not just open vowels. How do you say that Dharma star in the Vajrayogini Tantra in Tibetan? Chunjung, that's a prenasal. And it's not an open vowel, but it's just the way Tibetan speakers pronounce it. And it's so heavy that you better put it as Chunjung. Because if you put Chujung, they won't know what you're saying. Okay? All right? So now a new call. You have to know the text. You have to be able to split it up. And you have to know how modern speakers in central Tibet would pronounce it. Okay? So it gets a little complicated, right? And you'll make mistakes, but it'll still save me time. Okay. Should we tell them what the first is? Come on, it's in the last sentence, you know? That's okay. I mean, then it's okay to say, here's the first, you know? They just had it in the last sentence. What are we going to give them? A general explication of the 10 levels. Okay. Here's the first. How do you want to translate kundu? Kundu means everywhere. U means light. It's the name of the 11th Bodhisattva Lama.
Omnipresent light.
It's not too bad. Don't get too stuck in the literal meaning. I mean, if someone wanted to say like a lot of light in English, how would they say? Normal English. Like, when Geshe Michael goes like that, there's kundalini. <Blinding.
laughs> <You're so
bad. laughs> I ain't bringing no jelly. I mean, how would you say it in normal English? Just a lot of light.
Limitless light?
That has a... No, it's the name of a Bodhisattva Lama. It's actually a Buddha Lama, but...
Universal?
Like...
Dazzling. I like dazzling light. Okay. Who did that? Okay. I kind of like it. It's dazzling. It's like dazzling. Okay. So this is nice. Here we're about to learn the sources for Master Dharmakirti, sorry, Chandrakirti's presentation, right? His book, Entering the Middle Way, is an outline of the 10 Bodhisattva levels, plus the 11th level. But where does he get it from? You know, here's the big question in Tibet, in the debate ground. Where'd you get that from? Who says that? Okay, here we go. Where was that? Okay. On his knees. One, two, three. Day su ye de Uma rin chen ten wei Sa chu dan Ujik ba kun du u ki sai nam shak rak pa shi de. Okay, find the mistake. Never get away with it. You can't be that obvious, okay? Like you hand them to Ellie and she like wanders them out. Okay. Alright. Tell me, where's the boo-boos? Good. There's the first mistake. DBU, when it's DBU, the B changes to U. Okay? Uma. Sorry? Nice. So here's a big rule for pronunciation. Use a Y for apostrophe I, for agiku I. What is agiku I? Genitive, possessive. It's like apostrophe S in English. Whenever you see this apostrophe I in Tibetan, it means apostrophe S in English, okay? Which is really weird in English. Like if you're learning English and there's this apostrophe S there, you say, why is there apostrophe there? What's it mean, you know? Okay? Try to teach that to a non-English speaker. Did so. Any other problems? I would split you and day. Yeah. Okay. Okay, good. Should you capitalize the name of a book, for example? Uma Rin Chen Carol. I don't bother. Because in Tibetan, they don't. That's not how they show you that it's the name of a book. You see what I mean? That's. Sometimes I do it like in mantras. Like Bhairava, just because it looks almost impolite to say Bhairava without capital B. But otherwise, not. Okay.
You can capitalize in like entering the middle way.
In the pronunciation? Oh, in the English for sure. In English for sure. But Tibetans don't do that. Okay. How can you translate Uma Rin Chen Tawa? Rin Chen Tawa. Did we say precious jewels?
I don't think we said precious.
Okay. Now you may be remembering something from the last relationship talk. And for those, we simplify things, like grossly. So don't get confused. Keep your audience in your mind, okay? Like in a general talk in Tucson, we're not going to say Madhyamika, Ratna, what is it, Mala, you know? We're going to say string of jewels. But when we get to here, we might say something else. So keep your audience in mind. And don't be afraid to morph for different audiences. That's your job. That's what Buddhas do. Natso Shindu, Natso Sukui, Natso Taki, Natso Dujinu, Natso Sapa, Jishin Jutsima, Shingi Tubikui Tashisho. Where's that? Five Natsoks there. Where? End of the Vajrayogini Sadhana. You know, may I appear in different ways for different disciples on different worlds who have different motivations and different kinds of thinking, you know? Morph. And then let your language morph in different contexts. You know? Okay. I'll throw out a question.
What do we say?
Something light, dazzling light. The Tibetan word here is rakpa, for the ampersand, rakpa, as like charak. It's going to come a lot in Tantra. Cha means subtle, rakpa means the opposite. I don't know, my generation, the 60s, right, Michael? Gross meant, it had so many connotations. That's gross.
Huh?
Do you is it rough or gross? Which do you prefer?
Rough. I think we should say rough.
Sometimes I use the word that Rinpoche would use just to honor him. What did he say? Rough presentation. Okay, let's go with that. Sometimes I just put that in to honor Rinpoche. Then when I read it, I think, oh, that's what Rinpoche would have said. Sorry, you're correct. What's the 10th level? Dharma Megha Samadhi. 4th chapter of the Yoga Sutra. It's in the 4th chapter of the Yoga Sutra. It's very cool. Cloud of Dharma, right? Okay. This will be the we have a little bit. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Te yang do de sa chu pe je sun dang ne dam ba yin pe dir de ni ki je su dang ne ten lam ba pe. Oh, your snaps are getting good. A couple prenasals here that are interesting. Jaisun Dangne or Jindang. Okay? Jindang. You heard Rigpa Jindang? And what's the other one? Rigpa Jindang. Debe Jindang. Jindang. Say Jindang. Very common word. Jindang means those who follow, like a disciple or a book that follows another book. Jindang. And the Rigpa Jindang as opposed to Debe Jendang is very, very famous. Rigpa Jendang means those who follow after what makes sense. And Debe Jendang means those who follow after what they believe. And you're the first type, which is superior. You don't believe what your lama says. You establish it for yourself first, and then you buy it. Okay? Tenlam bepe ichir. Say, tenlam bepe ichir. Okay, bepe ichir. Okay. Just a note for translators, okay? Dode. What's dode? What is it in Sanskrit, you know? Sutra Pitaka. Sutra Pitaka. Say Sutra Tipika. Sutra Pitaka. The basket of sutra. Okay? And the Tripitaka, which they call Tripitaka, the Tripitaka is the three baskets of scripture. Okay? But here it would be a mistake to translate it as basket of sutra. It doesn't refer to the basket of sutra. Sometimes they use the general word for all the, of one of the classes of sutra, for a sutra. So don't always think that you have to translate Dode, Sutra Pitaka, as the basket of sutra. Don't get caught. You know, this is one book. This is one sutra. It's not a whole section from all the sutras. Okay. It's just a... I don't know why they did that, but they do that.
In that last paragraph, the cheer sort of gave the because of
Oh, good, yeah, you're right. Okay.
Is that to do with the right?
It should go right here. Okay. Cool. Good point. Okay. Now, this is our last section because we've got 3 minutes left. Anything unusual about these four lines, five lines? Yeah, it's in verse. What's an easy way to know that? There's a comma in front of the sentence. Okay, there's a comma in front of the sentence. That's always a what do you call it? A giveaway that this is going to be poetry. Normally. And then obviously it's also in the same meter, those four lines, which means you're going to have to read it in meter, which is 99% of the time. Deep, 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 deep. Okay? Unless it's First Panchen Lama or Milarepa. And that will be deep, 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 deep. And he uses the deep to put the most powerful word. You know, like, pain is what you get if you're not nice. You know, hell is where you go. You know, and, no, it sounds like that. Milarepa sounds like that. You know, okay. And then the emphasis in a normal line of verse would be somewhere about three quarters of the way down. So it's not as strong, really. Milarepa quite invented this. Okay. So here we go. Don't forget your din 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 din. But don't overdo it, because then Rinpoche would really make fun of me when I overdo it. Okay. Now the opening line is just saying from this book, so you don't have to dig deep there, okay? 1, 2, 3. Tambo de da temba in de denile jita niente. Now, this is a dhamma, okay? This chuo right here. If the meter requires it, you can smash it into one. If the meter requires it, you can split it into two. Right here, it's what? It's two. Chuo. Sa chuo. But if you didn't need the meter, it'd be sa chuo. Got it? Okay. The only point for a translator is that the just so comes at the beginning of the first element. Okay, chitar in Tibetan. Tibetan syntax would and then a translator who's not sensitive would say similarly, you know, and we don't really start sentences with similarly. Or do we? I don't know. Maybe we do, just so.
Yeah.
Huh?
You can say just as
too. No, but what I want to say is Jishin always comes at the beginning, and think about putting it in different places to make it more interesting, okay, than just saying similarly, comma, okay? Alright, let's see. Just a preview of what's coming up next. Why are they called bodhisattva levels? Sorry? She says because they're the levels that a bodhisattva travels. In the normal presentation, does a bodhisattva start on the first bodhisattva level? Yeah, only after they see emptiness directly. So think about it. They're not bodhisattva levels. I mean, only a bodhisattva can travel these levels, but not everybody who's a bodhisattva is on these levels. How's that? That might imply that the word bodhisattva and bodhisattva level doesn't mean what bodhisattva usually means. And you have to think about that. Okay? What's the main subject matter? I mean, what's the main quality that distinguishes each level from the other? Huh? Yeah, it's the perfections. It's the six perfections. The first six bodhisattva levels relate to the first six perfections. And in fact, the sixth bodhisattva level in this book takes probably 60-70% of the book. Why? That's wisdom. Okay, that's emptiness. You know, so they will give a presentation of giving and patience and all that, but only a few pages each. But then when they hit level six, that's the whole book. And then they just wrap up with the other four, okay? That would imply that the bodhisattva and bodhisattva levels refers to what? It implies that it refers to bodhisattva activities. You see, levels of bodhisattva activity. But it's not that either. So you can think about it for 3 days. Okay? Alright? Well, why are they called bodhisattva levels? Okay. Well, that's his next subject. Alright. Please come. Even if it's just for an hour. If you have other classes, you can fit in hours. It's fun. And John Brady needs the help too. He's got a lot of work to do. He does a lot of work in preparation for our courses. So like, right now he and Ellie are managing all the input that's necessary for all your Bokchenba and your Tantri course stuff and everything else for the fall. They're working on that right now. So. And you don't have to have any particular skills if you just want to come and help scan stuff. It's very helpful for the next semester, you see. So they're already working on the next semester now. So if you can, Tuesday or Thursday. Okay. All right. Oh, what's this?